This podcast is brought to you by lineupmedia.fm. You're listening to The Cowboys Podcast, presented by lineupmedia.fm. Now your host, Jono and Steve-O.
Cowboy fans, I know how you feel out there. It's Jono, and Steve-O's right next to me. We've got Rodney. Rodney, glad to have you on board, babe.
Hey, Jono. Glad to be here, but boy, I wish it was under different circumstances.
Off topic, Jono. So the music was going, and I'm up here doing a little dance. When you did your grave digger, could you go? Were you amphibious with it? Could you go both ways?
No, I'd fall down if I did that.
Okay.
I went to the right.
Okay, because you're a lefty.
I'm a lefty, so I dug to the right.
Okay.
Yeah.
Righties dig to the left.
Yeah. And I tell you what, we did some digging this Sunday night, folks. We dug in, and I think they buried us, too, right in that star. It was a rough one. It was a rough one to watch.
So, I mean, yes and no. I mean, were you really, I mean, realistically, you had Sean, first and foremost, if you have Tyron Smith and you have Zeke, I get it. But we haven't been good with Sean Lee missing for couple years.
I had a lead. I had a lead going into halftime.
Okay,
all right?
But come on.
All right.
The bottom line is this. We talked about being healthy and we're on 2 years with the show. We've talked about being healthy and how important that is. And I get it. Everybody's beat up. But the fact of the matter is Sean Lee is pretty important to our defense with stopping guys. And we stopped them, but they would all, you know, they fell forward for 3 or 4 yards every time we stopped them. It was brutal. But I kind of expected that. Didn't you? I mean, once he wasn't come back, didn't you expect that? What did you expect out of this game with that?
I didn't expect 37-9.
Yeah.
I mean, it was honestly like
Tell him, Rodney. Yeah, that's
it'd be one thing if you know, losing is one thing. Illegals are a phenomenal team this year, so we can just say that and put it out there. They're 9-1. They've pretty much locked up the division at this point. But what is inexcusable to me is the moments and lapses and effort and tackling and just those little things. It just seemed like once the
Let me ask you guys.
It's just the effort didn't look right yesterday. It just something didn't look right, and I know that there's some distractions and injuries, this, that, and the other. But like that doesn't excuse effort for me.
How undisciplined was that defensive line falling for that stupid trap
every time?
David Irving,
they fell flat on their face.
Hey,
and nobody touched them.
When that guard pulls, why don't you go with the guard down the line there instead of just shooting in like a madman? No one's letting you go in free like that. You know, that there's a reason they want you to shoot in like that. It's a trap. It's called a trap block. The way we've always been taught is when that guard pulls, you pull with him. You go down that line. You pursue angle. I mean, we were just every time that defensive line was giving up like 5-6 right up the gut.
Right.
Well, right up the gut.
You would see our ends or our D tackles shoot up the line and be in the backfield immediately, but they were all like on their knees. They fell forward, fell to their knees. They looked like, you know what I mean? They didn't break down and stay in position or, as you said, follow the trap.
Well, it happened more than one time.
No,
you think you'd adjust if you have this defense, you know.
You would think, and on some level, I would have to tip my cap to the Eagles because they probably saw something in the game plan where they said, look, these guys are all they want to do is get to the quarterback. They just rush up field. Like, that's all they do. And, yeah, no, you're right. We didn't make an adjustment thereafter, and that's on the players, and that's also on the coaches too.
And Taco, we've seen a lot of action from him, and I tell you what, I wasn't impressed at all. Time to strap it on and play, lad. That's what it's all about. I'm not seeing it.
You know, it's a shame that maybe we blew out last year. You know, we had all the impact players that we drafted came in last year, and then this year it's just we haven't really had that much of an impact with the guys we drafted. Although Switzer had a better game, I think. Yesterday than what we've had.
Yeah, because they ended up with a kicker that's a linebacker. He couldn't kick the ball
well,
up in the air.
He concussed the original kicker on the kickoff for the game, so
right.
Yeah.
Which wasn't good for us because every time they went for it, They scored.
They scored two-point
The two-point
conversion.
Everything was like in a desperate mode for the Eagles, you know, and it paid off.
You know what I saw yesterday was the Eagles, they knew they were better than us before that game even started yesterday, and they just reaffirmed it.
You know what? To be honest with you, though, we were banged up.
And
then our best player, Goodell, cuts his throat off. Or cuts his head off. I mean, honest to God, we were behind eight ball when this whole thing started.
Yeah. Not having Zeke, not having Sean Lee, those are huge impact players without a doubt. Without a doubt. There's no denying that.
And you know what? Hitchin hung in there as best he could, but he was getting pushed around.
And now he's injured.
Yeah, he's injured. So I don't know what's going to happen to us now. I really think this game against San Diego is not a give me either. San Diego's been playing really well lately.
Yeah, we played the night game. It's a short week. There's a lot of things already working against us.
So do you guys remember the movie American President? Or I forget who. I think it was American President. Something like that, where the guys –
I'm going to look it up.
I don't think it's that movie. But anyway, the politician thinks he's going to get elected. He has this big party over, and then all of a sudden some major – announcement happens and all you see is like his campaign signs, and he's sitting alone in his living room watching the TV. That's what I felt like last night. I had a bunch of people over, we had a barbecue, I'm all fired up, and then at halftime, man, I turn around, there's nobody around anymore. It wasn't at half, it was about a little bit way through the third quarter, I think, after they had gone up to two more touchdowns on us. But man, it was a tale of two halves for me, really.
I was very disappointed, not as much as the offensive line, because you know what? The O-line, I thought, did a fairly okay job. I graded a C-plus to B-minus. They did okay. What the hell was Dak doing? If I didn't know any better, it looked like Quincy Carter was back there again QBing for us. I mean, the ball slipping out of his hand, interceptions. I mean, come on, man. It wasn't vintage. He really showed how he could be exploited throwing the ball downfield.
Yeah, I think what happened yesterday from what I saw was that Dak was – he's feeling the pressure this week of having to try to do it all on his own. Doesn't have his left tackle, doesn't have his running back. He knows the defense.
Morris was running, though.
No, I get it, but I'm just saying it looked as though Dak came into that game with a little bit more weight on his shoulders than he had been accustomed to last year and up to this point this year, I think. I think he tried to do too much because he doesn't make those mistakes with the balls downfield like that typically. Like, he just, in general, he's not a guy that turns the ball over. So what that tells me is he's forcing it, and it looked like it.
He was definitely forcing it. And I know we kind of tweeted or texted back and forth on our text feed and everything that we did. I don't want this to come off the wrong way, but we should have still had Romo in the organization. If Romo doesn't get hurt last year and he still plays, we're in the same situation financially. We would add Romo with Dak as a backup. I mean, I don't understand. He didn't impress me yesterday's game. He didn't impress me with what he was doing, except for a couple of the naked bootlegs that he did, or the, you know, the read options or whatever you want to call them there. You know, he did a couple of things fine when he was running.
But you know what?
We had the inability to run to really do anything.
Steve, I got to say this too. On his defense, the play calling was outstandingly stupid. And I'll say this, when you run on first down, you're running on second down. Now it's third down and five. How many third down and five, third down sixes did we see last night? You're putting your quarterback behind the eight ball there too. You gotta at least on second down, if you get 4 or 5 yards on the first down, why not try to throw a 3-4 yard pass to get? I mean, that's what Brady lives on. He dumps the balls off, gets those little short yardages that become 7, 8, 9 yards every time. He did not have the opportunity. He almost had to be like the Philadelphia Eagles knew what the hell was coming.
We talked about the play calling, how horrible it was going back the game before that. Yeah. You weren't putting him in a position to be successful. I mean, how do you not snap the ball, immediately turn to the left or the right, and get a pass out there to It could be Dez. It could be Beasley.
Bryce,
and with two blockers out in front of them and try to get six or seven yards.
You did not even look at Williams. Williams wasn't even involved in that game almost.
Yeah. I mean, they didn't do a whole lot. You cannot drop seven-step drop and sit in the pocket and let a 35-yard route happen. We couldn't do that. That's not an option. Five-step drop, put him in the pistol, do something different, but you can't let him get back there and think he's going to have 3.5 seconds to throw the ball.
I think on to even piggyback on top of what I was saying about Dak is that I think just organizationally now it's starting to snowball in that direction. Dak is starting to feel as though he's got to do more. Scott Linehan's starting to overthink and question the play calls that he's doing now. You know what I mean? Like they're all – I just feel like things are just starting – the wheels are starting to come off. And, yes, I agree with you. The play calling was poor. It doesn't feel as though they're putting what players we do have on the field in the best position to be successful, as Steve just said. And it's unfortunate, but I think it all feeds off of each other. You don't, I mean, do you agree with that? I mean, it just doesn't, you know, and I guess every team that struggles, we're all going to sit there and nitpick it and look at it and say, well, of course things aren't going well, but just, you know, like one week we're ready to go. Next week we're not. You know, we beat the Chiefs. We're like, here we go. And then we come around and lay an egg against Philly or Atlanta and now Philly again. You know what I mean? We scored, what, 16 points in the last 2 weeks?
Well, again, I think that contributes to what's been off the field and what the
– without a doubt.
With the injuries as well. I mean, 2 weeks ago when we played the Chiefs, we're vintage. We're ready to go because we had everyone. We don't have that now. We don't have that now, and now another linebacker's gone down. I don't know how much we could absorb here.
Well, I had a tweet in here that kind of went through some stuff, and I'll try to find it again. But it was interesting because it talked about, okay, you got a 1,100-yard rusher in McFadden, not available. Jeff Heath, not available. Tyron Smith, not available. Ezekiel, not available. Sean Lee, not available. I mean, and another couple guys that were lesser known. So when
we didn't have our kicker. He didn't cost us though.
Bailey not available. I know he didn't cost us, but all of a sudden when you do next man up, next man up, next man up, it's fine when you're one or two deep. But when you're seven guys deep on next man up, not to make excuses, but shit, that's a lot.
Yeah.
That's a lot to overcome because it's not like it's, hey, we're missing our best linebacker, now we're missing our second best linebacker. It's like, okay, we're missing our best linebacker, our best defender. Oh shit, we're missing our best offensive lineman. Oh, now we're missing our running. It's hitting our best player in each position, not our best player, then our second best player.
Who would think that we're thinking about it? I'm in the car thinking, hey, maybe we ought to see what the hell Duck Freeze up to.
You of all people.
I know.
He's the reason why he left. You're the reason why he left. He's
for Pete's sake, I got on him a little bit.
You rode him like secretariat.
Knock it off. Now I think we need him. But Bell did not play bad. And I'll tell you another guy that didn't play bad, and he's taking some rap over I don't know what the hell he did wrong, but that was Dez. I thought Dez played strong every time he made the play. I mean, it was hard to bring him down. He's a hard guy to I just don't understand what the hell people got against
First
Dez.
And foremost, he got alligator arms, T-Rex arms on that sideline ball that he was going to get lit up on, and he still got lit up on it. Catch the damn ball. If you're going to be that guy, catch the ball. It reminded me of watching the Raiders earlier in the day where they had like seven drops out of Crabtree and Amari Cooper. I think that's what I call him all the time, Armani Cooper.
I thought I did too.
Yeah, Amari Cooper. So they drop the ball all the time, and their number 10 guy drops it. But Dez should have caught that. The thing
Here's
what I'm sick of.
Dez.
Do we ever hit Dez while he's in stride? Or is he always stopped or jumping for the ball, or it's a little bit behind him? Can I get a freaking pass where he has to reach out in space in full stride, full speed?
And have the ball drop like a little melon to his hand.
Or that slant across the middle. Every time we see it, he's half stopped.
Yeah. Well, I don't disagree with you. I see that, but that's what Dez – Dez, he's a physical specimen. He's taller. He can jump. He's got giant mitts. Like, that's his style, though. He runs a lot of fade patterns.
But he's saying to you, though, Rodney.
I know, but he – what I, and I, I'm not disagree, – I'm going to disagree with you halfway. What I want to see out of Dez is be the number one receiver. Win that battle. Guys, you're going to be all over him. He's going to face the best corner that defense has every week. Be better. Win those battles. Go up and get it. And then stop looking for a flag on every single play that you don't catch the ball.
Ugh.
Just catch the damn ball.
Wait. Now, that's rough right there.
I don't care.
Because that's what I wanted to talk about in the next segment.
Well, sorry, but I didn't mean to jump ahead.
No, we're there now.
Are we there?
We're there, okay. Since he brought it up.
How many bad
calls were we getting, though? I mean, come on. We're not getting any damn calls anymore.
Well, I guarantee if Dez is in the end zone and pushes that guy first and reaches up and grabs the ball, that's offensive pass interference. He got mugged.
Right.
But once again, he didn't even get a shot at the ball. Like, it was like Rodney was saying, be tough. You know you're going to get mugged. You know that the guy that's guarding you should get a 6-game suspension for domestic violence every time you play. Too soon?
It's a little. It's
a little soon? Okay. We're working
two
on that.
Two games.
Do we have to cut him off again?
But no, and that's his style. He's a physical receiver, is he not? Hasn't that always been his style?
Supposedly.
Okay. Well, damn it. He's going to need to be better. And I'm sorry, John. I disagree with you. Yeah, he caught 8 balls yesterday, but I was disappointed with his one-on-one effort. I feel like he was getting beat. And yeah, I get it.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Now, however, the refs in that game last night were letting the receivers and the quarterbacks battle a little bit. They were. That's how the game was being called. And if Dez is going to be a number one receiver, if he considers himself one of the best in the league, he's going to have to start winning those games, winning those battles within that game, even when he's getting mugged.
I really sometimes got to question the public on these big-time wideouts, and all of a sudden you guys make it like, why isn't he getting it? That ball's not – that these balls are not coming to him for him to make these plays either. I mean, he's working hard to get these balls in. I mean, it's a tough thing that Dez is going through right now. I'm not seeing the balls coming to him perfectly like Dak used to throw last year. I mean, like Steve-O said, I'd like to see that full stride where the guy has to run under the ball and try to make it happen. I mean, it's always like a jump ball type of session with him.
Hey, where is the play? Here we go. The long catch, the long play, the longest reception for Dez Bryant this year is 36 yards. Jason Witten, 28. Terrence Williams, 56. Cole Beasley, 24. Ezekiel Elliott has a 72-yarder, which was a screen pass. Okay? 53 for Bryce Butler. Everybody's in the teens. You can't – like Rodney's been saying this for a month and a half. Stretch the field.
Right.
And you're not doing it.
No. I agree.
Get some air under the ball, and Dez or Terrence or somebody,
Bryce.
Butler,
yeah.
Somebody's going to have to run. Isn't Switzer supposed to be fast?
Someone's supposed to be fast.
We were supposed to have all these weapons that we were supposed to be able to do whatever we wanted. We'll take the short pass if they're giving it to us. They're going to play the line. We're going to throw the ball deep to Dez or Bryce Butler, whoever. That's what
we play within. It's like we're in the frickin' red zone every play. That's how we play the game.
Right.
It is hard to win like that.
Mm-hmm.
You don't because you don't get to score. You don't get that quick score.
Right.
It's brutal, and you oftentimes, John, leading into your first point. You're three and out. You're in a third down and long situation. I didn't like their play calls yesterday. I didn't like their halftime adjustments. I love the effort out of our defense in the first half. Okay?
But again, on that, again, I mean, it just seems like point A to point B, you could connect dots. Now, first half, you're keeping your offense out there. I mean, it's a slower pace. Second half, you got that offense coming off the field, like Steve just said. Every three down, boom, 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 you're out. And here comes the defense again. It does wear you down. It does wear you down. And they're pounding three big backs at you. These aren't small backs. I mean, these are Philadelphia's. These Eagle running backs are pretty damn big. So, you know what? That kind of takes its toll as well.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. Interesting stat here. Ezekiel Elliott, 19 catches as a running back. All right, so what is that averaging? Three a game, something in that line, you know, two a game. Alfred Morris only has one all year long. Where is – did they just abandon that yesterday? Anything? You mean – the play calling, it was like a totally different game than what we've been seeing all year long. It was almost like, okay, we're going to let Dak try to run it a little bit and then try to do some short slants and get the ball, you know, seven-step drop and try to extend it just a little bit. But we know you're going to get pressure, so you're going to have to run. You're going to have to get out of pressure. I mean, where are the plays? I don't want a broken play that goes for 70 yards. I want a set play.
That'd be nice, yeah. Then to answer your question, we didn't have a running back catch a pass last night. And honestly, then when you said that, I looked and I said, well, we didn't have a running back catch a pass. I don't remember when we even tried to throw a screen pass yesterday or anything like that. Do you remember? I mean –
It doesn't. I did see that, and Dak threw it way low. I don't think he
like
even
he had
got
to get rid of it
guy.
Or something. But still, though, there didn't seem to be. Not much of anything there when it comes to trying to get your running backs involved. I mean, Morris ran the ball just fine last night.
We were not missing Elliott from a standpoint of. The running production.
I think we were.
I don't think as much as what.
I mean,
if I tell you guys, I mean, he runs right into the damn block. Zeke, I mean, he'll see a hole to the left, to the right, he'll take it. Not Morris. Morris goes right into it. All that pile of shit right there, he'll follow right into it.
Right.
I mean, Zeke, that's the thing about it. Zeke looks to the left, Zeke looks to the right, and then he finds it and goes to it. Morris, God bless him. I mean, he did what he could, but it wasn't a Zeke performance. And you know what? If you keep Zeke out there and you keep that offense out there, it kind of helps the defense rest a little bit. Like I just said a minute ago, the second half, it seemed like it was all defense. On the time possession-wise, we got 29 minutes for Philadelphia, 30 minutes for the Cowboys, but that's kind of deceiving there as well. Because in the first half, we had a lot of minutes on the board. Second half, it just seemed like we were coming right off the field.
Yeah.
Well, we talked about it. Their running backs look like Eric Dickerson. Every time we hit them, they would fall forward for 4 yards. And that's where we miss Sean Lee stepping in there and just lighting some. I mean, how many times have we seen a guy get hit and, you know, he's falling forward and Sean Lee just comes in and just mops him up. And all of a sudden, it's no gain or they lost one. I mean, they would fall, and it was like we would hit them and be around their waist, and the next time you saw us, we were grabbing them by their foot, and they were falling down. It was a 3 or 4 yard game every time they hit their yard, you know, every time they got contact.
It's been a recurring theme all year. Unfortunately, we still have – it's just – and this isn't just specific to the Cowboys. However, they probably, I would say, are one of the bigger culprits. It's just poor tackling. You can't tackle running backs on their shoulders. You ride them like a pony, and then they – like you said, they go forward 3, 4, 5 yards in.
Right.
You can't – I mean, it's a league-wide issue with tackling in general, but the Cowboys, since we watch them more often, they're one of the biggest culprits by far.
Yeah, every time I see Jalen Smith, tackle. It looks like a cheetah trying to bring down a water buffalo.
Yeah.
He gets him from the back and he's dragging it, and the guy's pulling.
It's like Bobby Boucher.
I mean, if we look at the stats here, folks, first downs, I mean, put the score out now. Don't even think about the score. 17 first downs for the Eagles, 14 for us. Pretty even. Rushing first downs, they got 8, we got 6. Passing first downs, they got 9, we got 7. Third down efficiency, 5 out of 14 for them, which is not bad. We held them a 5 out of 14 on third down. For us, it was 3 out of 14. Fourth down, they're 1-1. Of course, they didn't have a kicker. We're 0-1. Point is, as I'm going down here, you couldn't tell. If I said, Steve-O, you didn't watch the game, here's what. These are the stats. You would have said, oh, well, we lose
27-24, 27-21, yeah.
37-9, and the key factor here is if we scroll down a little bit more, is four turnovers. I know two of them did not hurt us because our defense dug in, but they did score off the other two. And that's costly.
That
comes back to get you.
And third down conversions were awful. 3 out of 14. Terrible. That goes so many different ways. It goes from keeping your defense on the field too long, and then the other team, you don't gain any momentum when you constantly are just going three and out, or you can't pick up that big clutch third and five, third and six when you're maybe starting to get a drive going, you're at midfield or, you know, in that general area, and you can't just make that third down to keep the drive going. It crushes you.
Right. And Rodney, to summarize, and I know we're only doing the one show this week because we have the short week here. With the holiday. But to summarize, if this is your team moving forward, you might want to start looking at the off season. Okay?
Don't you dare.
I'm
kidding.
That's a deal.
Unfortunately, that's a very cold reality today.
Right. And that's where you got to wake up. And, yeah, you got – believe me, Cowboy Nation, I'm here in with you. I'm in the trenches.
DC for life. I mean, that's all I get out of it. I mean, that's another thing, too, out there, folks. I see your posts and everything. See the real fans. They're still in the stands. I don't care. So we can't go crazy and say, why the hell is this happening? Every time – people like me say, why did this happen? Why we start getting pissed? You'll have, I'm a Cowboy for life. I'm still staying with my team. We are too. We're just questioning what the hell's happening out on the field.
Let me tell you what a real fan is. It's fanatical, okay? Right. And not just fanatical when it's good. They're fanatical when it's bad and letting you know that it's bad.
And they don't like that.
Yeah, I know.
You have to play along and say, I'm a Cowboy for life. Well, we are too. But we'd like to say what the hell's on our mind. And that is, when we're losing like this, there's got to be an element there. There's got to be some sort of system that's not working properly. And if it goes to the coaching, why can't we express ourselves?
You can. And you're expected to.
Absolutely.
Not only is it your right, it's your duty of the United as a citizen of the United States.
Dun, dun, dun,
another
dun,
presidential
dun,
movie.
Dun,
right? Wasn't that one? Same American president? Not only is it my duty, but it's my right.
Is that a movie?
That was Michael J. Fox.
You couldn't just go with what I was doing right there. I was building something for you to go with the cowboy thing. And Michael J. Fox. Who the hell cares about Michael J. Fox? All right.
Edit that.
Yeah.
That was a little Baker Mayfield for you, bud.
All right. So that's what we got, man. And tell you what, it's going to be interesting. But I'm not that pessimistic as you are, because I'm thinking, you know what? We got the next three games, and they're all doable. If we lose this one to San Diego, then I press the panic button. To where now I'm like, I don't know what else we could do. San Diego is not that strong. I mean, bottom line, look at their record. They give up a lot of yards. Of course, they just beat the hell out of the team. Who did they beat there?
Bills.
Bills.
Bills have no QB.
And you know who
Bills
they got?
Yeah, no, they
got Joey Bosa. They got the Godfather over there who's wreaking havoc on tackles all across the NFL.
I think I'm going to call Duck Free myself and sign him to just a one-game extension.
And you know what they do that we didn't do yesterday? We didn't get to Carson Wentz. No. Did we touch him?
Yeah, we touched him. He just got around it.
He got outside the pocket. Yeah, he got out because I would say a lot of it was poor tackling.
Poor tackling. And that's what we have problems with. Like Aaron Rodgers, somehow these guys got oil on them or something. We can't bring them down. I don't know what the hell it is.
Catch a chicken.
Hey, Rocky, you got to catch that chicken.
Yo, Mick, what, a chicken?
Yeah, catch a chicken.
All right, you know, I'll chase the chicken around. I don't know. Hey.
What was his uncle's cousin?
Paulie.
Hey, yo, Paulie, he's got me chasing a chicken around.
You're gonna piss lightning and shit thunder. Was that it? Was that the line?
I don't know. I don't think they said shit on Rocky.
You don't think so?
No, it was a family movie.
Yeah. Hey, you know,
by the
way, we do usually gather around to watch.
By the way,
Rocky,
it was like
movie.
30 or 40 years ago today that he lost the split decision to Apollo Creed.
Today?
Today, 40 years ago.
How the hell did that happen? How did we work that like that? That's beautiful.
Yeah, it's unbelievable.
How did you know that, though?
Come on, babe. I'm all over Twitter. I'm trolling you on Twitter right now. Saying wow. stuff to you. You get in way too many, like, Facebook fights, too.
They've too. Kicked me out of some sites.
I know. Every time I scroll through there, Jono's yelling at somebody.
Dude, I just don't want to hear DC for life. I don't care what happens. The true fans were still sitting there till it read 000 on the... Get out of here. Don't give me that. I can say whatever the hell I want, and I know a lot of Cowboy fans out there like me that are pissed off and that they want to express themselves. I didn't see anything productive from Dak yesterday.
It was not worth the price of admission yesterday,
honestly, you look like Quincy Carter out there, and I had flashbacks of the early 90s seeing you out there. It was horrendous. Yeah, you played like crap, man. And I'm not going to blame my offensive line. I thought they did an okay job. They did an okay job. Bell, you held your own. God bless you. Did whatever you could. But I'm telling you, I thought Dak was just playing lousy.
He was. The balls weren't coming off his hands real good. I mean, everything was fluttering. Balls were being thrown into the ground. I mean,
what the hell's going on here?
So if we were on grass field, they would have had to have helmets on the worms there. There were a couple balls he just bounced.
Yeah.
I think it's because he was trying to put too much on himself. I think
we're in the show trying to do some stuff for ourselves too.
Let me be clear, that is not an excuse. That's actually a criticism of him because he's the quarterback. That's his job to be to be able to handle the pressure. He's the leader of the offense. He's got to be able to put guys in position. He's got to lead by example. He did not do that yesterday.
No. No, I don't know what to expect.
I tell you what, we have to. I honestly, looking at the remaining schedule, yeah, there's some. We got winnable games on here, but I think we're going to have to win 5 out of the last 6 at least. Don't you think? I mean, that would get us to 10-6. Does that get you in the playoffs? 9-7?
Not 9-7 won't do it.
I don't think so.
I don't think that.
You got to be 10-6.
I think so too. And even then, you know, like we're still. It's a pretty cluttered. Playoff picture still.
Playoff time, though, I'm really saying that we got a great shot. We'll have our team back at playoff time.
Can we get there?
If we could get – and that last game against the Eagles, I really think the Eagles will do what the Cowboys did last year with the Eagles. They'll pull everybody out. They're not going to risk anything.
Sure.
They got home field advantage. They don't want anyone banged up. We'll see their second team quarterback in there, committee by running backs again. But I really think that every starter will take it easy in that game. They don't have anything to prove.
Right. Well, let me put it this way then, I guess. I agree with you with the Eagles. I mean, they're every week they're getting closer to being able to wrap this thing up pretty early. But when it comes to, we're 5-5. Wasn't it the great Bill Parcells that says that you are what your record says you are? Okay, we're 5-5. What? And this is just an honest criticism. What have we seen so far this year to tell us that we'll reel off 5 out of the last 6? We're a 500 team. Why? Because we've played 500 ball. We win one, we lose one. We win one, we lose one. That is 500. So I'm sorry, that's the pessimist in me, but that's what I've seen so far. Can we win 5 out of the last 6? Of course. Of course we can. But what I've seen up to this point in the season does not give me a warm and fuzzy feeling that that's going to happen.
Right. And Jono, you'll be happy about this. This is breaking news. The rumor, the word on the street is that the Cowboys' performance last night killed Charles Manson.
That's pretty good, actually.
Oh, phew. That's great.
That's a shout out to at Fish Sports, Mike Fisher out there, who always has some good humor.
That's funny.
So, real funny. I'm trying to find the Rocky tweet here.
Ha ha, funny, or
ha ha, funny dicks.
Yo, Mick, ha-ha, you know, I like your humor, Mick. Yeah. Well, you know what? We've got the Redskins still. We got the Giants. We got the Raiders. Seahawks are going to be bitch. I think they're going to be
but they're
tough.
Probably. You know, they lost Chancellor and Sherman last week, right? I mean,
but we still got to get the ball to them.
I don't know.
No, and I mean, that's – yeah, no, that's not – I mean, I'm by no means am I saying that's a pushover game. By yeah, no, not at all. But, yeah, no, I mean, there are – I mean, the schedule is still doable.
If they can do this.
We got the Giants, the Redskins, which we've already beaten. We got the Raiders, who are not the Raiders of last year. We've got Seattle, who's still – they're 6-3, but they're – you know, they've been up and down, and they've lost some very key players on defense. Yeah, and then we got the Eagles at the end, who will probably have the division wrapped up.
Right.
So, yeah, you can see where we can get there. It's just, gosh, what we've seen so far, it's hard to believe that that's
– Our problem's going to be the Redskins, who I think are throwing the ball really well now. Cousins is really playing well. I think Raiders might be a little problem. I think the biggest problem is going to be the Seahawks, because we're not good with a quarterback that gets outside the pocket. We are not that type of defense that can contain, and it always gets to us because there's always a tight end or a running back they flip the ball to, and he gets 15, 20 yards off it, because our DBs, I don't know if they like to hit or not, but they sure the hell love to hold. They are holding bunch.
Yeah. You know, what's fun about these shows is, you know, we get in here and you get on Twitter and we follow so many of the Cowboy sites and guys that cover the Cowboys. Interesting stat here for you. Dak Prescott versus NFC East, which has been 9 games. He's 160 for 275, so a 58% clip, right at 1,700 yards, 5 TDs and 5 interceptions. He's 5-4 with a 74.2 rating. Versus the rest of the NFL, which is 17 other games, 352 for 504 at 70%, 4,000 yards, 34 TDs, 5 interceptions, a 112 rating, and he's 13-4. I know that's a lot to digest, but the bottom line is he's not taking care of business in his own division here.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, I think from last week I compared him to that goalie in the movie Slapshot. I don't think that kind of got out of his mind. I mean, he was getting thrown around like a rag doll. But this week, I think he got a little scared. Like last week, he didn't think he had that much time. And if you would have looked at it, seemed like he had another second and a half to throw the ball, and he just got rid of it as fast as he can. Maybe he's gun shy right now or whatever, but he's got to slow it down. He's got to stand in that pocket. And why do you always seem to want to run to your right-hand side? Every time out of that pocket, you run to the right. You never run to the left. I get it. You're a right-handed throw. But you know what? They know you're going to get out of there, and you're ruining your pocket there. Whatever's left of that pocket, you're getting out of it, and you're throwing something under pressure. Am I making sense?
No. No, I'm kidding. Actually, no, you're not. I agree with you. That's the frustrating part. It's just we're seeing all these recurrent, or, you know, these mistakes where it seems like people are out of position. Players are making stupid mistakes. Players are poor fundamentally. A lot of that. So then I would ask back to you then, is that from the top? Is that all on the players? Is that more on the coaches? Is it, you know what I mean? Like, where can we start pinpointing that issue, and how can we get it fixed?
Right. I don't have the answers.
Well, I say the play calling's gotta switch around, because absolutely. This is becoming.
Yeah, you've got to change the play calling to the personnel you have. We don't have Zeke. We don't have him. Yeah. He's not going to be here for a while.
This is becoming. Look, there were so many times where you said it's perfect time right now for play action, and they hand it right off to Morris, and he goes right in the pile of shit again.
How many yards did he have yesterday?
I think he was over 100. I mean, he as a team rushing, I don't know who else rushed the ball, but there was 117 yards rushing on the board, so he had to have 100. I don't think we had any other running back touch the ball, did we?
No, but, you know, the funny thing is, as I'm looking on that on the site here, that Elliott's longest run is only 30 yards. Morris has a 70. Even Rod Smith has a 45.
Yeah, but you know what? I get it.
I'm just saying.
I'll take my Elliott any day.
Last year we had a lot of big, plays, it seemed like. we're just not getting that offensively. You know, it's like we're almost playing too conservative.
Yeah. Yeah,
Rodney, you with me?
No, I wasn't listening. I was getting a drink of water.
Playing too conservative?
I don't think – I think at times, yes. I think it's been hard for us to establish our identity or do what we did last year. We knew exactly what we wanted to do last year, and we did it very well. I mean, I guess you could say 13 times. We were 13-3, right? So, but it just – I don't understand why if these coaches are the, you know, quote unquote the best and the brightest at their professions or the, you know, offensive coordinator, defensive coordinator, this, that, and the other, right? So I don't understand why it can sometimes seem so difficult for them to put their players in the best position to allow them to succeed.
I got a little something about this.
Bring it.
It's all the way at the top where Jerry's sitting. He had that Steve Christie up there with him again.
Chris Christie,
whatever that guy.
Yeah, and the guy's in a Notre Dame pullover.
Right. Yeah, what the hell are you doing up there?
He's
you
always
are
up there.
Constantly bad luck. Every time I see you, yeah. You are bad luck for our Cowboys. Go back to New Jersey, wherever you're from, or govern your state, will you? Or a former state, I don't know. Do something up there. Leave our Cowboys alone, will you?
He does tend to seem to be kind of bad luck.
Every time I see him.
But I'm glad you brought up Jerry, Jono, and on.
What was the man thinking? That I love him, man. I love him. I mean, he's
Jerry?
Sitting there. Yeah, I mean, he's got his generals in the back there, and he's got his grandson that's ready to take on as a QB. They could have dressed him up, and he probably threw the ball down the field. Yeah. I'm just saying. I seen a Cowboy executive group there that wasn't too happy, and they look like they're ready to make some changes too.
Well, I'm glad you brought him up. I'm not going to quite have the passionate love take for Jerry right now. I do think that we're starting to see, and you're going to get mad at me. I'm glad there's a big giant table between us. I'm starting to think Jerry's becoming a bit of a distraction.
What?
Yes, here we go. Throw the computer. So, and you got mad at Troy Aikman last week, and I said, and I kind of...
Oh, I'm glad he didn't do our
game
last
And I was kind of in the middle. I said, I can see both sides. I could see you, Jono, because he's loyal, and he's going to fight to the end. And I could see where Troy was like, look, this has been a distraction all year. What do we talk... Okay, maybe not us. Like, we're fans, so we talk about a little bit of everything. But what the national media, all they've talked about all year long is Zeke's suspension and Jerry and Roger Goodell fighting. That's it. They haven't talked about our team hardly at all. It always starts with them. They might talk about the team and the game after that. Always starts with Zeke and Jerry. Always.
Right.
Well, Zeke is a very important piece of this puzzle. So is Jerry. But they're not – just those two guys alone cannot make us win 13 games in a Super Bowl. It takes more than that. And I unfortunately think that Jerry – it has become more of a distraction now.
Jerry's not doing it. Let me ask you this. There's 18 months still left on Goodell's contract.
Mm-hmm.
All he's saying is, why don't we take our time and look at this contract before we extend this contract to whatever he wants? 18 months, and you want to give him this contract already? What the hell has the guy done to deserve punishment for that or take ridicule from the NFL ownership? They're blackballing them right now, and it's totally wrong.
Yeah.
He hasn't done anything wrong. Wouldn't you, any business, Steele, Rodney, you guys are in the business now. Mm-hmm. 18 months could really identify what you're doing out on the field, right?
All right. So here's how I'll answer that. When you're the top dog, when you're numero uno, you have to do what's best for the organization.
Right.
First and foremost, correct? Okay.
And is that loyalty towards your player or your worker?
Let me get there. Let me stay with me. So it's your job to do what's best for the organization, okay? Now, I wish we could get Jerry and the attorneys and Zeke all in a room and have them honestly say, did they genuinely think that they were going to be able to delay this Zeke suspension throughout the entire year, or did they, you know what I mean? What were the odds? Like, what was the information that they had on this particular decision, or was it just blind loyalty then that turned this into, yeah, we can fight and drag it out, but we end up losing it right in the heart of the season, right in the middle of the season. Now Zeke has to sit out six games. Would the best decision have been to maybe just let's we're going to have to cut our losses today. He's going to sit out the first six games of the season, but then we're going to have him the rest of the way. Okay, that's number one. Number two, with Jerry and Roger, I 100% agree with you. Roger Goodell, frankly, he's done nothing for me as a fan of the NFL. I can tell you that. Some of the owners clearly like him. I don't know why. I'm sure they could tell us why. They'll never tell us publicly why or go on the record as why, probably, but they do. Now, when it comes to Jerry and this, again, I'm not disagreeing with you that he's completely correct in that. Did he take the best route to argue that point for his organization? Well, or even then for the greater NFL? Because now it's turned into a shit show that's all that they talk about. And I'm sorry, I can't possibly believe that the team does not feel that as a possible distraction.
Okay, hang on to that thought. Steve-O, if I can get 1 minute from you as I talk to Rodney here, can you find out what the Cowboys were worth last year and now what they're worth this year as an organization? And I'll tell you this, it's going to be over $300-500 million that they've lost on what they're worth. And that is that should be hitting every NFL owner. We got a product here, and now my team's going down in value in Forbes. I don't know what it is yet. We're looking it up right now. But the team is going down in value. And who's at the helm of this? I got a commander in charge here that my product is now depreciating. And I'm supposed to give you $50 million. And I'm supposed to now give you a plane of your own and whatever family you have all across the world, life insurance or health benefits with that. Come on, man.
I don't disagree with that whatsoever.
That's what I'm saying. If I'm the owner of the Cowboys, I can't just let you have this. Well, I can't just let you have this.
Unfortunately, we also live in a society or the NFL, they have their rules and mandates. Clearly, Jerry has talked about this with other owners. We know he has. He tried to get a lot of support on his side. Unfortunately, it doesn't seem as though he came up with enough to unroot Roger Goodell. But you know he's had these conversations with the other owners. And when we in their league, they mandate a certain percentage of owners have to be behind it. And the other owners are not. And I'm not disagreeing with you at all. But this does appear, to be another losing battle, at least where we're at today. Can this drag out? Can this go forward? There's a part of me that wants Jerry to do it. However, I wish there's a way we could do it outside of the season, where that's not the first thing we always talk about.
Again, on that note, too, but it wasn't us that brought the guidelines, brought these time frames on the season. They held this Zeke Elliott thing throughout. They didn't hint or anything where they were going preseason and before the season, right when it started. You didn't hear anything. And then all of a sudden they say he's got six games. Why couldn't you have told us what's going down way before that? I mean, it became a point to where we didn't even believe anything was going to even happen.
Right.
The way they didn't talk about it. All of a sudden, right before the season starts, the kickoff starts, you're giving the man six games. I mean, that is Goodell 101 right there.
Yep.
He wants anarchy amongst the team here. He wants us to be like a chicken without a head in that locker room trying to figure out what to do next. Mm-hmm. So it was well planned. You got anything yet, Steve-O?
Yeah, it's weird because I'm looking at 2017, and they range anywhere from $4.2 to $4.8 billion as far as value. But they said as of 5 years ago that Cowboys were one of two franchises that were worth over $2 billion. Mm-hmm. So now the average NFL franchise
I'm talking from last year to this year.
Well, okay. It takes a little bit, well, and, you know, longer research.
Well,
for
2018 is not completed yet, so they don't have a lot of those numbers. Probably.
But what I'm saying is 2017.
Right.
They said they were, one site said $4.2 billion, one site said $4.8 billion. But what I'm saying is, there were only two franchises 5 years ago worth over $2 billion. Dallas Cowboys were one of them. Now the average franchise is worth $2.5 billion. So in 5 years, man, this thing's grown astronomically. I mean, it's unbelievable how much these franchises are worth now. So Do I have the exact? Not yet, but I'm still working on that.
Well, and to that point, I guess, John, depending on which of those teams saw the great increase in their value, maybe those are the owners that have Roger Goodell's back.
Right.
They're looking at it, and they're saying, you know what, I get it. Maybe Dallas might come down a notch or two. Mine went up 4 or 5.
So they're looking at if you look at it from a percentage, okay, you go to a fine restaurant to eat, and the steak there costs $65, or you go to Outback and you eat where the steak costs $10.
That's sirloin,
right?
Yeah.
So your tip on if you do 20%, you might be tipping $2. Mm-hmm. All right. Whereas if you go to a $65, $70 steak, you might be tipping $14.
You're tipping $2 on $20 bill?
On $10. I said 20%.
Oh, okay.
But the bottom line is this guy, they're making so much money that is $50 million, and that's where they're looking at it. It looks like a big tip, but percentage-wise is probably less than what Tagliabue was getting back in the mid-90s.
That's way too much.
Oh, I don't know.
Especially if you got an NFL right now, in general, is losing money. You got a Nike CEO that's making $14 million a year, and he's showing production. You got a NFL commissioner right now that's turned everyone off. He's hypocritical about every which way he goes. One minute he says something to one player. Next thing he does another. Next thing you know, he pisses off one group. He pisses off another group. I mean, come on. You got a hard job. You know what's a hard job, pal? Being on a coke oven at a steel mill. That's a hard job. You should be able to do what you want to do and be correct about it. Be one way about it and hold that. Don't give one guy two games.
Okay, so here I found it. You ready for the Cowboys?
Yeah, let's see.
I'm going to start from 2010. They're worth 1.65 in 2010. 2011, 1.81. 2012, 1.85, 13, 2.1, 14, 2.3. Now watch this, 15, 3.2, almost $1 billion increase in a year. 16 goes from 3.2 to 4, and then in 17, you're at 4.2. So, and like I said, there's another site that says 4.8. So, I mean, this guy's gone up in 7 years. Well, he's gone from $1.65 billion to so much money that generations of his family don't have to worry about life insurance and health insurance. So, is that Goodell's doing? Is that just the NFL where it is? Do you sell? If you're Jerry Jones, do you sell right now?
Who can buy that?
Do you just go ahead and take your money off the table? Is this like Bitcoin?
Yeah.
You just go, let's do it.
No, I think that the money's went up because he's put too much into it, too. And when I say too much, I mean great. That's great for the Dallas Cowboys. I mean, he built another town in Frisco with the Dallas Cowboy logo on it. I mean, that tends to cost money. It's not free, all right? So the value goes up there as well. I just don't know how the hell the Houston Rockets are worth $2.2 billion, and they're much more marketable than an NFL team. I just don't know how the hell they are $2.2 billion, and there's NFL teams that are less than that.
That's where sports business has gotten to these days. But unfortunately, though,
everything. Houston's the fourth largest city in the country. How many more opportunities you have as a brand, even if you're the Houston Rockets, compared to the Buffalo Bills? What are you going to market the Buffalo Bills to? Upper New York?
Okay, that's fine. That's fine. Then what are you telling me? Then the L.A. Lakers and the New York Knicks are worth maybe $3, $4
billion? Oh, yeah.
They're the same equivalent to the Cowboys? What the hell have they done?
The New York Knicks are worth $3 billion.
That's unbelievable. That's really
the Los Angeles Lakers, 2.7.
How are you worth that much when you're only drawing tops, 18,000 per game?
Well, I don't know. I mean, I guess need to get a chief economist on to break this all down for us. Yeah. But, you know, the attendance is different, but you don't have as many players.
We should be towering
the
over these
TV dollars, the length
you
of the
season.
You
are worth $500 million more than the next closest team, the New York Yankees. Yeah. You're $500 million more. That's a lot of cheddar. Mm-hmm. You're looking at it from a standpoint of only $500 million. You're not looking at a standpoint. It's $500 million.
Right. Right. It's $500 million. But again, that doesn't hit me as much as an owner saying, I got a better product. I got a lot of shit. I got a lot of stuff out there. I got Frisco that I built a $1.2 billion. Another Dallas, I put another $1.4, $1.6 billion. Come on, I put a lot of money. I should be worth more than four.
I think that all takes into consideration that part of it.
What am I going to be, three or two?
I don't know. I'm not sure how it equates out. I'm sure somebody that has a better education at Culver Stockton College right now is figuring that out.
I don't have an actuary degree, so this is not my field.
Well, you did play one on TV.
I did stay at a Holiday Inn Express one night, and I feel like I could break down economics to you.
All right, folks. Well, we got San Diego. What does San Diego
Los Angeles now.
Oh,
Los
I'm sorry.
Angeles.
Jesus Christ, I still say San Diego.
Do you want to cut that out? It's at the 55-minute mark. You want to cut that out?
No, we're good.
Okay.
We're good. And no, I had to cut you out last week, dude.
You didn't have to cut me out.
I had to cut you out. You're still out of line.
So
let
me ask you this.
All right, go ahead.
How about this for a defense for Ezekiel Elliott? Do you watch any of like those action movies where those women are just badass and they're just beating the crap out of everybody?
Yeah.
Can't you hit those women?
No, you can't hit them.
Are you kidding? Let me ask you this.
You can shoot them from a distance.
If Angelina Jolie...
Maybe you'll think it's Bon Jovi out there.
Angelina Jolie in The Mummy or whatever movie she was. What was she in? Lara Croft, right?
Yeah.
If she's whooping your ass...
Oh, yeah.
You can't punch back?
Oh, why would you want to punch that?
Oh, man.
Jesus. Pamela Anderson in that barbed wire? Yeah, was out there.
If she is whooping your ass, you can't hit her?
I know, just keep whooping my ass.
But what I'm saying is, what if this gal was coming up to Zeke just... Or Joe Mixon, or you never saw what happened.
I seen Joe Mixon. He looked like Sugar Ray Leonard with that chick.
But this gal might have been coming in hot and heavy after
him.
Oh, and
for
all
love
you
of God, she was just sitting there, and he comes, what'd you say? Did you say that? Boom, 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 boom. And then he walks out of the fast food joint. And I'm like, hey, Goodell, where you at, boy? There's the one right there. Take him out, will you? It's on tape.
It is on tape. It is on tape, and I don't condone their actions at all. But I'm just saying, if Ezekiel Elliott would have said, hey, this gal was like Lara Croft, and she was whooping my ass, and so I just held her, you know, arms down, and that's how she got bruised. Maybe that would have been it.
Yeah, yeah.
Defense work?
Come on. I mean, I don't think these gals are Israeli commandos or anything like that. Okay.
Okay.
But
just checking.
But in any case, we got San Diego.
Angeles.
Los Angeles. Damn it! I did it again. We got Los Angeles Chargers. God, it's going to take me another year to figure that one out. But we got the Chargers. What do they pose as a threat to us this Thanksgiving? How can they ruin our Thanksgiving?
First and foremost, Joey Bosa, the mafia, okay? He gets after it. Their defense isn't so bad. And now all of a sudden you got Keenan Allen and Phillip Rivers, who started playing pitch and catch a little bit this week and lighten it up. So do they pose a threat? And then don't forget Melvin Gordon. Do they pose a threat?
No, Melvin Gordon hasn't done much though lately.
Absolutely they pose a threat.
Okay.
Absolutely.
Run or pass or what?
Defensively, first and foremost. I think that if they have their game going, and I would fully expect that they are going to throw everything and the kitchen sink. Matter of fact, I think Joey Bosa's nose dresses. He's like the 54th man on the roster. He had two sacks last week.
Yeah.
Can we say that, Bosa's nose? Is that okay?
I thought I liked it. It was pretty good.
Just checking.
I think that if they look at this Philadelphia Eagle tape and this whole trap BS thing that Philadelphia was doing to us, I think you're going to see something new. It's definitely an opening for them. David Irving is a defensive end, and we've used him as a down lineman right now in the middle, and he's playing like a defensive end. He's just shooting there erratically. He's not reading the block at all, and boom, he's getting caught in that trap. I think we may see a lot more of that this coming Thursday. That's what I'm saying, Rodney.
We are currently a one-point favorite.
One-point favorite, huh?
Yeah, so really what that tells me, though, is that we're the home team, so we're supposed to get 3 points.
Yeah, we're not even getting that.
We're not real well thought of in Vegas today.
All right. So what are you making? Well, what are you giving this game?
Gosh, I don't. It's going to have to be disciplined defensive line, but being able to get after Phillip Rivers because he is probably San Diego's greatest threat against our young secondary, which from time to time can be exposed. So if they throw the ball over the field and we don't get any pressure on them, then we're going to be in trouble.
When in doubt, you got to hold them. Hold them.
And then on the offensive side, who are we? What are we this week? What are we going to be until we get Zeke back? What does that look like? What's our identity? I don't have the answer to that right now. God, I hope it looks a lot like what we're used to from last year of running the ball effectively, running some play action, maybe taking a shot deep. You know, I don't know. That's what I'd like to see, but is that realistic?
Right, right. Okay, so what are you giving that here? What is final score?
I got to pick a winner.
You got to pick a score. We always give a score.
Ah, fine. Ah. All right, I'm going to go.
Hey, yo, you got to give a score.
Cowboys, 21.
Yeah, Cowboys, that's us.
Chargers, 17.
21-17. All right, Mick, I like that. I like that. Paulie?
Well, I think we could see some trouble. All right?
For God's sake, every time I hear your shit, I don't want you even in my foxhole.
We got a quick turnaround, but we're at home, which is good.
We're used to the quick turnarounds.
Quick turnaround. I think we got I'm going to go with a win. I'm going to go with 17-16.
17-16?
Yep. We hold them to 3 field goals and a touchdown. Bend, don't break.
Okay. I'm going to go with 5 field goals here and a touchdown. That's what we're going to score. So what is that? We got 15 and we got 22? We got 22 on the board? 16, 17, 18, 19, 20, 21, 22. I got 22, and I got the Chargers at still my San Diego Chargers. I can't get used to the L.A. I'm going to say 13. That's what I got, 22 to 13. I think our boys will get the job done. I you know what? Thanksgiving's a ritual. We have a nice record at Thanksgiving. I think we get the job done. That's what I got. And, hey, I just sent another jersey out this week. I sent one to one of our fans. Like I said last week, I got a good message from Amy. So we sent Everson Walls jersey. How about that? That's a name from the past, huh?
Nice.
Yeah, we sent that one out today to Amy. I hope she enjoys the jersey. And anything happening this Thanksgiving, guys? Where are you guys headed?
Oh, I've got some family coming in from New York. We're going to spend some time. Actually, my brother's coming in, so we'll have a couple days with him. And then we got to turn around and go up to beautiful Central Illinois for the actual.
What the hell is in Central Illinois? Nothing.
I got some family up there.
Oh, the family.
So, yeah.
All right. Yeah, beautiful. Cornfields.
Pretty much.
Yeah.
And what about you there, Steve-O?
You know what? We're gonna change it up. We're going to, after 45 years of doing the same thing.
You're going to do some Chinese food this year?
We are. No, we're actually going to do the immediate family right here in town is going to, we're going to do some steaks on Thursday. And then on Saturday, as my brother comes in from Chicago on Friday with his family, so on Saturday we'll actually do the Thanksgiving turkey celebration, which I will smoke. Yes, he's a big fan of the show. I will smoke a turkey, and my wife will put 6 pounds of bacon on top of another turkey and maple glaze oven bake that one.
Mm.
It'll be good.
That sounds gross.
Your brother likes me on the show.
Did you say gross?
Yeah, I wouldn't eat that.
No. Not at all.
His mouth's watering, I tell you. Well, I'm going to eat that dry bird at my cousin's house, and I don't even go up and socialize with anyone. I don't even like leaving my house, and now I got to – every Thanksgiving, I got to go to someone's house, and I'm not a big fan of that.
Be thankful.
I'm thankful. Only time I get thankful if I win the – damn game at Thanksgiving. That's the only thing I look forward
to. Then you go out in the kitchen, you rip off a big turkey leg, and you just manhandle it.
That's if we win.
Yeah.
All right, my friends. Hope your Thanksgiving is as great as ours, and I hope you guys give a lot of thanks out there. And hey, Cowboys, do it. Let's get a big win here. We need a win, and we need all the Cowboy fans to be on board. From Jono, Steve-O, and Rodney. And yes, Rodney, we are definitely, I swear to God, next time out, you heard me, I got on them pretty bad about that. We got a new intro coming out, and you're included.
You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to go shop Amazon. So I just went to Cowboys Podcast. I got to buy something.
Yeah, that's a great call, too, folks. Yeah. Hey,
holiday Black Friday deals out there already.
Holiday deals are out there right now. Why don't you go to CowboysPodcast.com? If you're going to buy something, go to CowboysPodcast.com. On your right-hand side, you'll see Amazon. Click on Amazon and shop away. And you know what? We get a little love back. Keeps the lights on here. And our GM, he'll be very appreciative of the show, and we could do it a lot longer. Thank you so much. You guys enjoy it. Happy holidays from Jono, Steve-O, and Rodney. We are out of here. Good luck, boys.
Go, boys.
Go, boys.
Tune in next week for another edition of the Cowboys Podcast on lineupmedia.fm. Subscribe to the show now at cowboyspodcast.com, on iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher, Podbean, and all major podcast outlets. This podcast was a presentation of lineupmedia.fm.